Now we'll do community development planning, item 11C, the Tyhurst in McLeod, opening of hearing, and then we'll do the reading order of presentation.
This, I believe, is already a continued. This is a continued hearing, it's already open.
It is. Presentation staff report, Mrs. Jarrett.
This is the, again, this is Rachel Jarrett, senior planner. This is the second reading of a proposed zone change to rezone 20.1 acres of a 42.6 acre parcel. To recap, the applicant proposes to rezone all of the industrial to commercial, a portion of the commercial to rural residential, and a portion of the non-prime agricultural to rural residential. The project site is within the unincorporated community of McLeod, west of the intersection of Highway 89 and Timber Country Ranch Road. At the first board meeting on this project, the board directed staff to provide Mr. Tyhurst's response letter to the Riding Club. Mr. Peter Tolosano, the president of the Squaw Valley Riding Club, was emailed Mr. Tyhurst's response letter on December 20th. No response or additional comment was received by planning staff from the Riding Club or any other member of the public regarding this project. Staff recommends approving the zone change and determining the project exempt from CEQA, and there is a recommended motion in the agenda worksheet for this project.
Presentation of correspondence.
It's the one that Ms. Jarrett mentioned, the email.
Okay. Presentation of reports or arguments by the county agencies or public agencies. Proponents or opponents? Seeing
none.
Public comments? No rebuttals? This is the second, we'll close.
Correct.
Close the hearing. Discussion of board by board members. And the only discussion I had, it sounds like the Riding Club part has been addressed
Not responded, so as far as I know, it's copacetic with them at this point.
And the letter there also that we received earlier explained the different easements and those sorts of things as well.
I did send them a letter prior to the first hearing letting them know what the easements were on the property, and I did provide them with a copy of the proposed parcel map that's an associated project with this zone change.
And it doesn't change any of those easements?
No, okay. It does not. Right. It actually expands one of them. It widens one of them too, from 30 feet to 40 feet.
So okay.
Right. That's the only change.
With that, since this is my district, I'll go ahead and make the motion.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. Community development. This is regarding item 11D, SMARTA, County Service Mining and Reclamation. We'll open the hearing and then read the order of presentation with the director.
Yes, this is the first reading of a proposed amendment to the county's surface mining and reclamation ordinance. And I think that's about it. We've got quite a few changes, it sounded like, in here. So.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Staff
this
report.
Is Bernadette Sisson, assistant planner. The surface mining and reclamation ordinance update is an update to our local ordinance to bring it in line with the state Surface Mining and Reclamation Act, known as SMARA. The current version of the county's ordinance was adopted in 2015. Since then, the state has passed subsequent legislation amending and updating SMARA. The proposed amendments will ensure the county's surface mining and reclamation ordinance is consistent with the provisions of SMARA. The proposed amendments include the provisions currently prescribed in SMARA while maintaining the county's current appeals procedure, which includes the Planning Commission as the appellate panel for decisions made by the planning director. The proposed amendments are the minimum necessary to ensure the county's surface mining and reclamation ordinance is consistent with SMARA. This project was considered by the Planning Commission during their December meeting and resulted in a recommendation of board approval. Staff is recommending approving the ordinance and determining the project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15061B3, as there is not a substantial evidence that the update to the ordinance may have a significant effect on the environment, and section 15307, as it is an action taken by a regulatory agency to assure maintenance or protection of natural resources. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence.
I've received none at the clerk's level.
presentation of reports or arguments by other county departments or public agencies. Proponents? Opponents? Seeing none. Public comments?
Showing none online.
And seeing none in the chambers. No rebuttals. Since it's the first reading, I won't close.
Correct.
And discussion by board members. Any questions? Supervisor Thompson? Sure.
So I know we have to conform with what the state wants us to do, but are we getting a carrot here and a stick later, or what's the deal?
Essentially, it's adopting the state regulations as they are.
You know. Is it going to bring more regulation upon the pit owners?
At this point in time, most of the changes to the ordinance are time frame specific. In other words, you know, time frame for the department, DMR to respond to our comments and vice versa. Okay. So, for instance, 60 days has been reduced to 45 days for certain items in the process. Submit our annual reports and so forth. Okay. The other major thing, not major really, but they continue to change their definition of who's who. So now it's a supervisor of DMR versus a director of DMR. So there's some minor changes with it. But essentially, the smart package hasn't changed a whole lot. There's some proceeding additional onerous regulations on the mine operators. There's more stuff on at our level to deal with. Something called the NOKI, which is basically a repetition of what we submitted, confirming that what we submitted was okay. Kind of thing. So there's another step in our process at the staff level.
Will it increase cost on our permitting process?
No, it will not.
Okay.
And they're, you know, significantly less than the state, right?
Yes, understood.
Well enough,
I get
so. And just for reference, we initially started out at $2,000 level per
right.
site, and we dropped that down to $1,400 countywide.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Rick, if we just get your name for the record.
Oh, sorry. Rick Dean, Community Development Director.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Absolutely.
You said we dropped from $2,000 to
$1,400? Correct. Yeah.
Does that still cover our costs?
Yeah, for the most part, it does.
Thank you. Moving this forward, right? Move to approve.
Yeah, we'd like to. There's been a motion to approve.
Second.
A second.
And can I make a note? We have the clerk's office requested a summary of the second before the second reading because it is such a large ordinance. So if we could continue this to February 1st rather than January 18th.
Motion to second concur.
That doesn't mess up a timeline that we have to have this done by. No.
No, that'll be acceptable.
Okay.
Thank you.
With that, we'll go ahead and call the vote.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 11E, continued public hearing regarding the Scott Valley Watershed Public Trust findings. I believe this is already open. So reading of order report, reading and presentation this week.
Yeah, this has been ongoing. It's been continued a few times. This is the continued public hearing. It has to do with the well permitting program in Scott Valley, and there's also a resolution making public trust findings for the Environmental Health Division's issuance of de minimis water well permits in the Scott Valley and directing in Environmental Health to bring forward an interim ordinance for a moratorium on new production well applications in Scott Valley.
Presentation of staff report, Mr. Dean.
Rick Dean, Community Development Director. Wendy, thank you very much. You summarized that perfectly. This has been in the works for some time, and the resolution before you. Basically, I just want to point out a few things that we have come to conclusion with. So as far as the definition of wells, de minimis versus non-de minimis, especially affecting the public trust doctrine as far as our consideration goes, we are defining the wells in Scott Valley, this particular area, as non-productive versus productive. Okay, so a productive well is going to be a larger well that's, you know, for certain uses, agricultural included, municipalities and so forth. So we don't want to pigeonhole it into one thing. You know, potentially someday in the future, a golf course may be, you know, proposed in the area. So we landed with the definition of non-production and production wells. Non-production wells are going to be defined as a well that has a 6-inch interior diameter encasing or less, and it supplies less than 2 acre feet per year per parcel in aggregate. So if there are two wells on a certain piece of property that is owned by the same property owner, those two would be in the equation to come in as less than 2 acre feet. And those wells we are looking to be issued ministerially over the counter as they are. And then along with it, of course, the resolution is dictating staff to come forth with an interim a moratorium on production wells and also some exemptions associated with that in an ordinance.
Presentation of correspondence.
The clerk's level has received none.
Presentation of reports or arguments by the county departments or public agencies. Proponents' arguments and or evidence. Opponents' arguments. Public comment.
Do we have one online?
Mr. Jocelyn, public comment, sir.
Every 80%.
One thing I'm curious about. Sorry.
Start over again. We just had a little technical on our side, but you can start over again.
Nick Jocelyn, not Shasta, California. I'd like to say I think this is heading in the right direction, but it's a little unclear to me why this isn't also being applied in the Shasta Valley, where production well drilling is continuing. And what is happening as a result of that is you have groundwater users intercepting water that was going to be ending up in the river. Kind of similar to my earlier comment about the Montague ditch lining. It's a big setup for just more battles in the valley for the water. Because if you keep letting production wells get punched in, they're intercepting that groundwater. Like I said, it would end up in the Shasta River where you have a number of water rights holders counting on that water. I think it would be wise to apply the same moratorium on production well drilling in the Shasta Valley. Thank you.
Any other public comments?
Showing none online.
There'll be no rebuttals by proponents or opponents. Discussion by board members. And I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second.
Okay. Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
And that's all the public hearings we have for today. So we're going back up the agenda for those paying and watching. We're going to move up to item 9A, which is Board of Supervisors request. Sorry for skipping around with the knee.
That's okay. We're good.
So again, like I said, do you need to break anything or you're okay?
No, I'm good for now.
Item 9A, Board of Supervisors, local emergency as related to the drought, resolution 2148.
Just a quick point. This is one that I believe Supervisor Haupt requested to come back, the one that had to do with the drought. We brought it back. We had considered it last meeting.
All right. Discussion by the board.
Trying to frame this in a way. I don't know that I can support this at this time. The curtailment orders. I'm fearful that this is tied to this a bit. I'm concerned about the Tule Lake area, and if we can be area-specific more versus county-wide. water is coming. I know there's a big emphasis on the curtailments currently for winter water rights. Need to be turned on. I don't know how else to say that, because it's groundwater recharge for some wells that are going dry in parts of the county all over. I get that there's potential assistance with this resolution, but I'm concerned about an extended time frame on these curtailments for some of these winter water rights that are also, by not being turned on, drying up some of the aquifer in some of our regions. And I, you know, just like some of our landowners in the area have an agreement with the feds and the state to put in projects to save water, piping, lining ditches. It's part of their survival at this point. But I have a concern that while good intentions, wherever they may be, and possible pressure from state and federal agencies to do more of this, that potentially long term, we're going to see an absence of groundwater recharge through some projects as well. But at this point, I don't know that we should continue to support the drought declaration.
Mr. Chanel or Ms. Davis, I know you both are office emergency services. If you can answer some questions or enlighten us or let us know about this declaration soon.
Thank you, Chairman.
Maybe you just say your name for the record, too.
Yes, Brian Shinoni, Director of Emergency Services for Siskiyou County. So my concern with this proclamation would be that 100% of the county is still within a drought. We're showing 76% of the county in extreme drought and 16% of it in exceptional drought. The state of California just received 160% of their yearly snowpack. But that's not going to push into our watersheds as much as we would like to think. One of the big concerns with that is we can look outside and we can see rain and we can see snow, but that's not going to help the five plus years of drought that this county's already has seen. And the concern is the recharge of the groundwater, and even more concerning is the Tule Lake area and all of the agricultural areas that this county depends on, especially through later on when we're looking at CDA relief from the state and looking at USDA and SBA loans for some of these ranchers and farmers. So by extending the proclamation at least one more until we see what's happening with the weather, I mean, because we don't know what it's going to do next month. It could dry up and then we could be right back to where we started. And that would be my biggest concern. So seeing where we're at, our neighbors to the north in Oregon are they are making sure that their proclamations are renewed. Our counties to the east of us, our Modoc County, doing the same, and as well as the majority of counties throughout the state are renewing their proclamations for droughts.
So, Mr. Shinoni, how do we deal with the groundwater recharge that should be taking place? Tule Lake, that's a man-made drought. They have the water. It's going downriver. It could recharge a canal if nothing else, but for domestic water users. The area in South County or south part of the Shasta Valley, winter water rights that are curtailed and not recharging aquifer there is also a contributing factor. If we don't capture some of this now, drought is still there, but we can actually exasperate it by putting water in stream and sending it down river versus storing it in ground. So how do we deal with that?
Absolutely, so, and I agree with you on that. However, some of that is beyond my lane, and my lane is to ensure that the county, under an emergency proclamation for a drought, and it allows our constituents, and especially our farmers and ranchers, to get the help and subsidies they needed throughout. And by eliminating the fact that there is no drought, whether there is or there is not, all that is doing is further down the road, that is eliminating that for those folks. It is an emergency, and I feel like even though, like I said, we're seeing this water, it's not enough. We need to do this. Department of Water Resources, drinking water, this needs to happen until at least April for this to basically curtail our drought.
I get what you're saying, but my concern is that we're exasperating the drought by letting this water go downstream.
And for us, that's just storage. And I deal with the actual emergency part of it. And I agree with you. There are other parts of this, other spokes, other sprockets that are far beyond my control and far beyond my land.
Understood. And I get that.
This is just putting it out there for.
I understood. I just don't know how we protect those that need this and the rest of us, the county as a whole, whoever they are.
Absolutely.
Need that recharge going on currently. Otherwise, it's just going to exasperate. And I know you get that, but I don't know how to thread this thing so that it's a win-win.
I agree. I 100% agree. My suggestion would be renewing the proclamation one more time until we see what the weather is going to do. Typically, we had an exceptionally fantastic wet December, but that we don't know what January is going to bring, and we certainly don't know what February is going to bring. And if February dries up like it has in the past, and the mountain is bare, then we're right back to where we started with a gap and a lapse in time for a drought proclamation.
One more thing, and then I'll be quiet. Klamath Lake, BOR is holding water back over and above the water that they need. And it's just going to go downriver where they could recharge the project currently, even if there was no ag use, just recharge the canal. And yet, they're holding back that water. It could release it. It's going to go downriver and be wasted for any environmental water that could happen if they would just hang on to it and throw it in the canal. I don't want to do that here, too. And that's where I'm going with this, is that the state and the feds can manufacture this into, even if we get a wet year, they can manufacture it into yet another drought where they send all of the water downriver and we're sitting here holding the bag and irrigators are going. We see it down south in the Central Valley. Same thing's going on down there. So I'm reluctant. I get it, but I'm reluctant to extend it. That's me.
My only cost to that, sir, is that whether it's a man-made drought from Mother Nature or man-made, it's still a drought. And I think it does a service to our county to recognize that.
I would love nothing better than to declare that the drought's over and let's not have the proclamation. I think we need to err on the side of caution here. I can't help but think, and I don't know how I tie this into, but they just had a fire in Denver, outside the Denver, Colorado area, and then they had the snow. You know, what I see in my front yard is not even what I would consider normal when I was here decades ago. And so, as we speak, the snow didn't come to the extent that we had in South County. Certainly we got plenty, and obviously we had issues with, closing the gate at Ever Memorial. Sounds simplistic to say it's over, but, half that snow in my front yard is already melted. And it's running downstream, and there's no storage capacity on other than Little Lake Siskiyou, so to speak. So I'm going to err on the side of caution and willing to extend it. I think you're spot on. I don't want to pull it back, find out 3 months later that it all stopped and you have to reenact it. I think there's funding, money that comes available with the drought declaration, particularly moving forward, and I want to make sure we capture that. So that's where I am.
No, if you're fine. The only question I had, if we did need to reword anything in the resolution, I have a paper copy here, but it said the fourth whereas, says the conditions are predicted to be more extreme within the coming weeks. I know when we originally passed this, it would have been, doesn't have a date on here, but sometime back.
April.
Yes.
If we were to reword it, not to wordsmith it, but we just reword it to update it, would that hurt any declarations, or do we keep this to keep the funding coming?
So it's on the agenda for continuing, and so we don't have the option of rewording it now. We could bring the next one, we could bring back and wordsmith it to be a new declaration if you want.
Okay. Would that hurt funding at all if we were to stop this one, start another one with new wording or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, and from what I understand, as long as we are declaring that we are still within a drought, we are okay. And I agree with you on that with the weeks. That was my concern as well, because, well, we can look outside and say that might not be a thing. But
it was relevant at the time it was passed.
Absolutely.
It was absolutely relevant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that might be fantastic.
If we do need to reword it, and I know Supervisor Costa brought some concerns, if we could opportunities for groundwater recharge, not necessarily a political statement by that means, but just a health and human safety, legitimate needs of those sorts of things that need to be worded in there. I think you probably heard all those. So repeat,
Absolutely. Sorry,
we got it on recording too, which is nice. But if we do want to do that, is that an option that, and as long as it doesn't hurt anything, if that's an option.
Right, and I will double check with that, but I'm almost positive that it does not.
And it would be then a new resolution.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Because I agree, even with all this, even though man-made drought in many respects, with the snow, it's only going to alleviate a certain extent. What are the wishes of the boards for that thought process?
I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that?
We could continue.
Okay. We continue. We have public comment.
Nick Jocelyn, it's your turn to speak.
Hey, Nick Jocelyn, I'm Shasta, California. I'm a geologist and I've been following the drought issue pretty closely. I think it's prudent to extend the proclamation. Much of the state still remains in drought. And I want to just mention a little bit about managed aquifer recharge, which I think Mr. Kotzev is a little bit, anyway, the thing about recharging groundwater is that it only works if groundwater extraction is halted. Saying that water right now is just going into the river and going out to the ocean is exactly what has always happened. There is no way that we're going to stop that. But what we can do when you manage aquifer recharge is stop groundwater extraction. So the view that filling leaky ditches is going to help the groundwater is only a slight process when it comes down to the overall view of the hydrologic cycle. You just approved a project or sending a letter in support of a project that will line leaky ditches and prevent managed aquifer recharge. So I just want to point out that the issue of the drought and whether people can continue wasteful stock water watering, it's a complicated issue. And it's not a matter of letting water go out to the ocean and saying it's gone. That's what always happens. There is no way to stop that. And it's just a little bit confusing to me as a geologist to see how you would support one project, but on the other hand, you want to have leaky ditches in one side. So you're going to have one side of the valley mining ditches, one side of the valley you have a leaky ditches. It makes no sense. You got to be consistent about it. Managed aquifer recharge only works if groundwater extraction is halted. That was apparent in the Scott Valley. This summer, groundwater extraction was halted, and the recharge that happened came faster than it would have otherwise. And so that's the point that's missing here, is you cannot recharge an aquifer if you continue to extract from that same source. I just wanted to point that out, and I support the proclamation being extended. Thank you.
Wishes of the board on the proclamation?
So through the chair, just for clarification, as I stated, Mr. Jocelyn, in my comments earlier, a lot of these projects that are happening are under the pressure of irrigation districts have to start doing something to save the water. That's what's there. It's going to be their survival, whether it's right or wrong. I'm not arguing that. My argument is that for over 100 years, the systems in Siskiyou County have been irrigated. And there's a certain amount of water that goes into the system, and I'll call it land reservoir, ground reservoir, that has been a contributing factor to fisheries and the water in these systems. And just by now changing that whole dynamic, which my fear is that the state is changing that dynamic to put water strictly back into streams and going out to the ocean, which I think, this is just, I have no degree to back me up, other than just common sense tells me if you change the dynamic that we've been doing for 100 years, there's going to be an unintended consequence, long-term future, that will create even more of a groundwater problem, as we've seen since they took flood irrigation off in the Central Valley. So at any rate, there's two sides to all of this, but people are out there trying to survive with or without water, and I just don't want to be a part of exasperating that further. I'm fine with continuing this to bring back in different languages, Supervisor Chris has pointed out, and I do think that there should be an emphasis in that proclamation of the need for groundwater recharge from winter water that will offset flows in the, whether it's the Shasta or the Scott during this next summer, because if that water is not there, the water, it'll exasperate the problem even further, so.
With that, I understand Klamath County did extend their drought declaration?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I understand some of the lakes are even going down during the winter, which is a concern.
Most of our lakes have seen an increase, but again, they're pushing water out as well.
That's it. With that, I'll entertain the motion from the board.
Move to extend.
Motion to extend.
Second.
And a second.
I thought we were continuing to change the language.
Extending. You can't do it. He said he couldn't do it this time around.
My understanding is we can pass this to continue it, and then we come back next. Have a new resolution which takes into consideration some of the wording changes that you that would be suggested.
So wouldn't you just stop and then do reconsider? No.
This has to be renewed every 60 days, and I don't know off the top of my head when it was last renewed.
At the last board meeting. Which was December 14th?
Correct.
So technically, it's another 60 days from there. So it is already continued.
Well,
or extended last meeting.
We can always, the next meeting or the meeting after that, when we terminate this and start the new, just to keep it fresh. I hate to have a drop. It's already in effect, anyways, it's not changing anything. I took a little liberty there as chair. I apologize.
Are we going to continue then with the motion that was made to extend?
Yes, I'll continue with the motion to extend.
Okay, and that was Valenzuela or Ogren, yeah. Correct?
Yes, right. That's correct, Ms. Whitty.
Okay, ready for a vote. Supervisor Kobzev?
I'm going to abstain just because the language isn't current enough.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. Thank you, Ms. Chanel. Thank you. Oh, Ms. Davis? I see you grabbing the microphone, so I'll absolutely.
For the next item.
Oh, for the next item. You got it. Item 9B, review of status of proclamation by County Health Officer relating to various health hazards resulting from the River Complex fire. Ms. Davis.
I'm the Davis County Administrator. I would like to recommend that we terminate this proclamation dated November 3rd, 2021, as all Phase 1 hazmat work has been completed.
That is good news.
Yes.
Do we need a motion to that, to terminate, or just let it?
I believe so, yes.
So moved.
And that's to terminate. Thank you.
There's a motion.
Second.
And a second.
Okay.
To terminate.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Obrin?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be aye. Now for appointments.
Can we take a couple minutes break, and then we'll get these? Thank you.